bumper show today, Steve. We've got Magic Round, plenty happening there, and State of Origin teams released.
We do, mate. The Maroons have gone with Speed to Burn. The Warriors were super impressive with an injury to Boyd. And we talk about Penrith's win in second gear against the Dragons.
We also talk about how we're not overly excited about the Blues team. The Cowboys' super impressive performance and hopefully not a good omen for the Queenslanders, because another Queensland team, the Dolphins, are on the rise as well. I'm Ian Hawkins and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport as I see it is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections and learn to trust your body. How are you, Steve?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. It's been a massive few days in the world of rugby league. How you been?
Very good, thanks, mate. Watched a heap of it over the weekend. Would have been good to be up there. It did look magic at Magic Round. All the scenes from Caxton Street and in around the Suncorp Stadium precinct. But yeah, great weekend of footy. And where we will start is State of Origin teams. My initial thoughts on the New South Wales team was a little bit underwhelming, maybe. I don't know what I was hoping for, but I was looking for a bit more X factor and excitement. For example, why pick Case McLean if you're not going to put him in the 13?
Yep. Yeah, look, I'm a little bit gobsmacked by a few of the decisions. He seems to be a little bit confused about whether he wants to, you know, inject some of these young players. To your point, you know, Casey McLean, Dylan Lucas, Ethan Strange, you know, all on that 18 to 20 with, you know, no real plan unless someone goes down very early to play them. I don't understand it, mate. And some of the players that he's named in this Blues side are grossly out of form. There's no questioning that. And then the makeup of the side itself, you know, there is a lot of big forwards in this pack that, you know, are struggling to play big minutes in the NRL, are struggling to keep up with the pace of the game. I'm absolutely gobsmacked that Jacob Saifidi is being picked in the side. That just absolutely blew me away. But, you know, we can go through them all and there's a question marks over a number of them, to be honest with you. There's nothing here that really gets me excited, unfortunately.
Me either. It's funny, what I sort of noticed over the weekend, and maybe I'm a bit slow to the party, but it seems to be almost, do you remember like early 2000s, it was almost like get on your front and submit in the tackle, but make it look like you're moving forward so you get a quick play of the ball. It's almost turned into that, and the teams that have got the quickest rucks, they're not necessarily having too many of their hit-ups trying to dominate meters, but they're just trying to get out from dummy half or first receiver as quick as possible, get to the ground on their front and get a quick play of the ball. And it's like, does this team really tell you that that's going to be possible? Because you'd imagine it's going to be even quicker. Don't know.
Yeah. Now, for mine, he's picked this forward pack, and there's some things to get excited about. Obviously, the back rows, Hudson Young and Olakau'atu are two good picks. They're in form. They're doing well. Big deal to let Crichton. You know, he's been a steward for the side. But, look, I'm happy definitely with him. But if you think that they've got Yo, Murray and Radley all in the same side, it's going to have to come to a stage where one or two of them are going to have to play up front in the front row, which isn't a great deal, you know, as you mentioned, with the quickness of the game. But then, you're wasting interchange with Barnett, Fanua Blake and Saifidi. I just can't see how they can be on the field for anything more than 20 minutes for the entire game. So I feel like you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball. And as we mentioned, you can't see Ethan Strange getting on the field unless there's an injury to Moses or Cleary. Casey McLean's the same, unless there's a HIA or an injury to one of the outside backs. So I'm just really confused with the makeup of the forwards, especially, you know, Adam Fanua-Blake's only playing 50 minutes on average in the NRL. So what's that count for in Origin? 20, 25 minutes? And if you're giving two spells, you know, you're just burning through a heap of interchanges. So Look, he's obviously got an idea, but I'm just gobsmacked by it.
It feels like he's gone like a safe, like, yes, Kolo's in there on the wing, which I think everyone would be excited about because he's been playing really good football. But those three guys you mentioned, surely they're in and about the team. Because if you look at Queensland, Billy Slater has not been afraid to make those tough calls. He's got Jojo Fifita in there. I mean, maybe there's some element of necessity about that. But he drops the bloke who's been an absolute superstar last year in Reece Walsh. And he had some mistakes in him yesterday, but he wasn't awful. And he makes the big call. Again, granted, putting in a pretty handy replacement. He's gone all in on Sam Walker at seven, again by necessity, but he's not made the safe call. He's gone, well, let's pick the next exciting guy. And
Daly hasn't done that at all. He hasn't gone for any risk whatsoever. Crichton and Stagg, you know, Stagg's had his injuries. Crichton is massively out of form. Anyone who watched his defensive display on Magic Round would agree with that. So that is a monster pick for mine. Obviously, Toya and Hammer in the centres are going to give Stagg and Crichton some trouble, no question. Moses, you know, we've been talking about him having a niggle or an injury over the last few weeks because he just doesn't seem to have that running game. So I'm not sure here, mate. I really aren't.
Yeah, me too. To be fair, it was probably Moses' best game of the year on the weekend. As awful as the rest of his team were that just couldn't hang on to the ball. I'm with you. And we talked about how good Ethan Strange was going. What was I going to say? Completely gone, but it'll come back to me. It was important.
I'm even, you know, you talk about, we mentioned, you know, Crichton to miss out. Obviously, Edwards and Tedesco was a big decision that they tossed and turned. You know, I'm worried. I had a good chat with one of our listeners, Elsie from Greenacre, and he's worried Tedesco will get in the way. And I probably feel the same. There's a lot of Chiefs and not enough Indians in this side for me. You know, you think that Cleary and Moses are two sevens. Tedesco loves getting in the way in that ruck, and that sort of suits the Roosters, but I don't know in this side. So I know Reece Robson's a distributor from dummy half, which will help, but I don't like the look of it. And then the Ford pack we've mentioned, I think they're bloody unlucky for Ford and Kaloa Matangi to miss out. I think both of them would have given them a little bit more flexibility off the bench, being able to play on an edge. I really hope they don't play Murray on an edge for parts of this game, but unless they're expecting Olakau'atu and Young to play the whole 80, with Dylan Lucas really the only traditional edge forward in the side, named in the 20 jersey, I just don't see enough flexibility in this team to do anything than just play it safe and hope they get a winning game one.
Yeah, agreed. I think the what he's gone for is people that can play multiple positions because Radley has played a bit of edge in the last 12 months and Yeo has been in the front row. So I imagine that's where their rotation's going to come. Again, feels safe. Well, you know what I was going to say before, Crichton was awful defensively, but to me that – thinking about it since that game, that's a product of him lacking trust in the guys inside and outside of him, because we saw the blow up last week when Galvin just did a really bad read and missed that tackle, didn't he? Like, just come up with fresh air. Well, now he's kind of coming in to almost protect Galvin, and then the gap's appearing on his outside because he's lost that trust. And I imagine that there's part of the problem is not just Galvin too. It's probably further in towards the middle because they are all over the place. So you've got to think that you bring him back into a good system with quality players. His class is going to show, and I think that's the only thing that you've got to be thinking that Daly is counting on. So let's hope he is right.
Yeah, you got to hope so, mate. Right now, Cleary and Tuo are playing on the right edge for the Panthers. So whether that means that they'll stay there, I know obviously Tuo can play both sides and Kohler hasn't played a lot of wing. He's been playing in a few different positions for Manly, fullback included. So it'll be interesting to see how they do line up. But, Crichton's going to need to lift and there's a few others that are going to need to turn around their NRL form if we're going to get a win first up in Origin 1 down in Sydney, mate.
Agreed. Probably should talk about the parts we are excited about, because I do love the fact that Blake Brayley's got a start. I think he'll thrive in that environment. That's a good rotation, good 1-2 punch there. Offers a bit more with the ball once Robson's done all the heavy lifting, particularly defensively. Radley's plenty with ball playing, but again, that comes back to the point you said before. Perhaps that's too many Chiefs. It'd be good to see Cam Murray fit coming into it, because that hasn't been the case consistently over the years. And then that back row, like, there's plenty to be excited about there. Hudson Young was absolutely brainy at the start of the year, and Olukuwatu, he's just running rampant. Did you see the little highlights package that they put together on one of the socials where he's just it's almost like he's gone back to swat the Tigers player out of the way. And, yep. Yes, he is menacing, to say the least, at the moment.
He is, mate. Yeah, he's a big in for me. And again, we talk about rights and lefts for the NRL. Be interesting to see where they line up. If he's right side and Cotter's on the left, Cotter's as hard as nails, but he isn't a big body. And Olukuwatu is just an absolute monster. So if they can get one-on-one with him, which will obviously be Cleary and Moses' main task, get him early ball one-on-one with his edge. You've also got to think that Walker's going to get plenty of attention. So however they line up left and right, and there'll be a few decisions to be made there, our back row is going to be a real strike point for us. So if we can, you know, get these slower bodies in the middle to move forward, and have the edges really attacking the Maroons on the edge, I think that's going to be an upside for us. But, yeah, as I said, mate, there's still a number of question marks for me on that Blues team.
There is. I thought Teddy looked like he just tried a bit too hard on Saturday night. He's, like, trying to be in everything. He's trying to force things. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, if they pick him, that's not a great confidence builder going into it. And I was actually watching it thinking, surely he's played himself out of a jersey, because Edwards yesterday was just, again, his usual dependable self. And, like, do we – yeah, I don't know. I think I'm more of a fan of, like, well, you move on. He's 33. Let's go with the next bloke. He's only been there a couple of years, and we just move on. But anyway, fingers crossed – Daly knows what he's doing, although I did read something saying if he loses this series, that'll be 1 from 7 he'll have won as a coach.
Yeah, I think this one will be it for him. And, you know, we talked about the makeup of the side, exactly what you're saying there with the fullback decision. And it was obviously a big decision for him, and I get it, rightfully so. But, you know, he mentioned that Edwards is a worker and just gives them that yardage where he thought they needed more. Well, I think that's exactly their problem. I don't think they need more, right? Cleary's got the steering wheel in his hand. If he absolutely needs help, then he's got Moses in the side as well. They need someone who's going to get through 200 metres out of the back five, and that's exactly what Edwards does week in, week out. So I think he's gone down the wrong path here with a number of selections, but it is Laurie Daly. To your point, you know, we mentioned the three young fellas, Strange, McLean and Lucas. I think, while it doesn't look like they're going to play unless an injury strikes, I think they're really good selections for the future. I can see all them having huge careers for the Blues, and that will be, you know, a mainstay for them for a long time. So, you know, if it's not game one, I hope they get plenty of game time throughout the series to try and, you know, get some experience for them.
Agree. And we don't know how they're planning on playing. Maybe Tedesco just tucks it under the arm and he's just going to be a meter eater. And if that's the case, well, that he's going to do a fantastic job of that. So we probably should give them the benefit of the doubt. Interesting selection for me. Shibasaki for the Queenslanders hasn't been good. Ezra Mam with the ball, like, he looks electric, but he had again had some defensive moments yesterday. And seems to just still drift in and out of games, but the rest of the team just picks itself. They're rock solid as always.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, you know, another contentious fullback decision, obviously. You know, probably 4 months ago, 5 months ago, Walsh was considered the best player in the game and just hasn't hit his straps this season. He's gotten off to a slow start, had the injury, obviously, which has slowed him down, and Ponga's been playing some really solid football since he come back. So that was a really big one for me. The other one I think was a little bit unlucky was Heelan Lukey out of the Cowboys. I thought he started the season really well.
He was good on Saturday night too, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, mate. It's his first season back from pretty tough injury, so I sort of understand. And they've got a really good back row. Obviously, Cotter and Katewell are very, very well established, and now Britton Nicara from the Sharks has the eligibility change for him, so he's available as well. So, look, you know, you can understand both decisions, but to your point, you look at that speed across the back line, Ponga, Cobbo, Toya, Hammer, Fifita. It's very impressive, that back five, as far as speed. So New South Wales are not going to be able to let them start running riot because yeah, if the game's as quick as what we're expecting, they're going to be very hard to contain, mate.
Oh, yeah. Like Grant, Munster, Ponga, like they're scary at the best of times. But yep, the speed the game is at the moment, yeah, that actually terrifies me and could be an old nervous watch. Unless we have one of our blow them out of the park in the first 40 minutes games and the game's over at half time, which is very possible in this current climate, because you look at that game, and we'll come to it in more depth, but the Bronx Warriors game, like every, not even 50-50, 60-40, 70-30, they just seem to get the wrong end of every call. And how that could possibly have been that penalty count, and then the sin binning, mate. Like my son said, he goes, "I hate the Broncos, but they got ripped off."
Yeah, they did, mate. And if that happens in Origin, to your point, one team only needs to get a little bit more of a sniff of the ball, and it is all over. It doesn't matter which team it is. Yeah. So I don't know how this is going to end up. It's more of a predicament to pick how it's going to get refereed, let alone who's going to win. But to your point, if one team gets a sniff of a roll on, a few repeat sets, that back line's going to be hard to contain. And they've got, for mine, a bit of a more mobile pack. It's a bit of a smaller pack. Cotter, not a big man. If they do start Plath at 13, probably, maybe not, because he's going to be there. He'll spell Harry Grant. I can see them starting one of them, but even if they do, at some stage of the game, they'll both be on. It's a very quick middle rotation as well. So, yeah, I probably like the look of the Maroons a little bit better. To your point, I think Slater's taken a little bit more of a risk, but with the way the game's being played at the moment, I think it might pay off for him. I really do.
Yeah, maybe. Apparently both teams tried to get an answer from the NRL on how they're going to be refereed. It does look like Slater's banking on it being refereed the same, whereas Daly's almost banking on it being refereed differently, as Origin often is, and maybe it'll be a bit slower and there'll be more less penalties, less six agains, and the ref will put the whistle away. And, yeah, anyway, all will be revealed. But maybe it's a good thing, because quite often we go in as Blues fans confident and that it ends up being a false bravado. But this time, I don't know anyone who's that confident at the moment. So maybe that's a good sign. Underdog status.
Yeah. Well, I know they're playing obviously in Sydney, so that'll help. There'll be a full house, a sea of blue. But just first reaction on looking at those teams, mate. I think the Maroons have got the edge, even without Dearden and Walsh, who were two massive outs. I just like them just a little bit more, mate, at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out Wednesday week.
It will. All right, magic round. Probably not the close games that we were hoping for, but great spectacle. Oh, the pitch was a bit of a concern. It did look like the ground might have given way a bit on poor old Tanner Boyd. It looked like there was a few moments. Reece Walsh probably got cost a try at one point where he just needed to change direction. Poor old Isaiah Papali'i when he's trying to get back for that ball. Oh, no. Was it him? No, it might have been Toto when the no try, trying to get back and turn around on a pitch that just wasn't responsive. that's just part of it being a magic round, I guess. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, mate, I did. I was away on a bit of a boys' trip, so I saw all the games, but a few of them were a little bit hazier than others, no question. Sunday afternoon on the couch, I got plenty of those games in, but the Friday and Saturday games were a little bit hazy. But, yeah, look, we have had a bit of rain up here in Brisbane over the last probably month. It's rained one or two days a week, nothing huge. Today was probably the worst day we've had for a little while, but just enough just to get a little bit wet, and it obviously does cop a lot of traffic, Suncorp. So, look, all in all, I think it held up pretty well. Let's hope, you know, poor old Tanner Boyd didn't look positive for him, and there'll be more news to come in the next day or two, but I hope it didn't play a part. But and all in all, that one aside, I thought it held up well. But as far as the games go, you know, there was probably that Cowboys-Roosters game. Outside of that, you know, there was fairly large and comprehensive wins across the board. So for mine, it is certainly starting to widen to the haves and the have-nots, this premiership. You know, we saw a few teams for mine in sort of second gear, and I think Origin had played a huge part of that. I think there were a few teams that had players in them and star players that were just trying to get through games. I think you know, it was pretty well known who was going to make the majority of those sides. So I don't think, you know, teams put their foot down and there were still some big scores. So, you know, I've got pretty big concerns over the next couple of months of footy with the top 40 players out of action that we're going to see a few blowouts. We're going to see a few blowouts, mate. But we've been speaking about that all year.
Yep. All right, Friday night's game. Oh, we'll start with the Women's Origin. That was very watchable. There were some handling errors as you'd expect because it was wet and it's their pre-season, but mate, both teams defended well, and as Queensland always seemed to in Origin, they just stuck around and nearly grabbed it at the death. What a finish.
Yeah, mate, I was expecting it, just as a long-suffering Blues fan, that Queensland were going to find a way. But look, hats off to them. It's two good games in a row. Haven't been, you know, runaway games. They've been pretty tight, and teams have both teams have been in it till the end. And look, it keeps getting better, the women's game, there's no doubt. I thought it was a huge step forward for them to get announced that next year they'll be up in Townsville, still standalone, even though there'll be an extra game on for Magic Round with the Bears in there. But but yeah, look, good footy. They keep getting better. They'll start their NRLW season not long after the third Origin game. So it's positive news for them, mate, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I know last week I said I wouldn't pick the Sharks again, but I sat with this game for a while. I'm like, I just can't pick the Bulldogs. They've just been so bad. And so I flipped, and I was so glad that I did, because it was I just had a moment of like, I just can't believe this is happening. Like, what on earth is going on there? Yeah. It's every week it's like, this is worse than you first thought. And Seraldo just looks like he's lost for answers. It's mind-boggling.
He doesn't look like he has anything to say at press conferences. He looks like he's really at a loss at the moment. And that's not what you're expecting. The fans weren't expecting. You know, we didn't pick him to have a starring season this year, but I don't think even the, you know, the harshest critics could have thought they were going to play the way they had. This one was over at halftime, even with the new rules and the new interpretations. Canterbury were never going to come back from 30-6 down at the half. And while the Sharks have been super inconsistent, once they got a roll on early and a sniff that there were some the points on offer, they just rolled straight through the middle. You know, we mentioned at the start of the year that Canterbury had a problem with their middle third, and nothing's been improved there, and they're in all sorts of trouble with both defence and attack. They're just nowhere near where they need to be. So they're going to have some big problems. Obviously, Gus was caught with Sam Verrills Yeah, well, who would have thought they needed a proper hooker? So I do know that he also met with another young hooker from South Logan as well over the weekend, I heard. So they're obviously looking for a proper established hooker. They can get a halfback and they might be halfway there, but they need to look at themselves pretty quickly, mate. But look, hats off to the Sharks. They played really well in that first 40.
They did.
Just to dominate the Bulldogs, mate.
what a return by Ronnie Mulitalo too. Like he can frustrate other fans, other teams' fans, because he's in your face. But what a return. Unbelievable comeback from a very serious injury. Yeah, Seraldo said something like, oh, I could say this, I could say that. He goes, but that would be all bullshit. Like, there's no excuse, really. But I still think that there's something to be said for the teams that built their teams around playing a grinding football. And then the whole game gets changed. Like, you look at the Sharks have struggled for consistency. The Dogs, the Storm, the Raiders, like, they expected it to be tough, grinding football, and that just, it's not how it's panned out. And even the as resilient as the Broncos were under all sorts of adversity in the first half yesterday, those teams are struggling. So maybe we've been a bit harsh on them, but the Sharks were that good, and if they can be consistent like that, then they can be the team that we've thought they can be since the start of the year. But who knows which team we'll get next week. That's it was a good performance by the Sharks, but the less said about that game, the better. I reckon it was a tough watch.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, they'll have their bye, and they'll have a good rest of the Sharkies going into the Origin period, and the Bulldogs have got the Storm, which well, I know obviously we'll talk about later in the week, but that really frames up as a big game. Obviously, Storm will be missing some key players, which will hurt them. But I think Storm, you know, once they get them back again after Origin, I think they've turned the corner and had a good look at, you know, the way the new game's played. So it'll be a big game for the Bulldogs next week, I think.
Absolutely. Now, we've been big on the Dolphins and their upward trajectory, and they showed it again in the second game on Friday night. They were really good. I still think, like, the scoreboard doesn't really match how close this was at times. Like, South was certainly not out of the contest, but the Dolphins just keep getting better every week, and I can't remember if I had him in the four, but I definitely had him in the eight. But we definitely talked about how they would be climbing the table, and they could even be contenders based on what we saw at the back end last year. Mm. They are starting to look very good, and with everyone, pretty much everyone fit, they are looking red hot.
Yeah, it's what's interesting for the Dolphins, for mine, they're the fourth best attacking. The fourth best defensive team in the comp. So we know they can score points. They went on an absolute run and a tear last year. So they've worked hard on their defense, and they're starting to see that. You know, this game didn't go like the others. The Dolphins really started fast, where the last few weeks they've really earned that honour, playing some really tough, hard footy. They didn't really need to this week. South didn't come out of the blocks real well and didn't start great. Obviously, Latrell went mid-game with his back injury. He didn't look right the whole time he was out there. So that's certainly going to be a tough loss for the Rabbits, no matter how long he's out for. But the Dolphins are really good, mate. They're defending well, and now the attack's obviously been there since day dot, but that defence is really hanging up for them. Obviously, Origin, Max Platt's going to be a huge out for them, and Hammer. There's talk of Kulikefu Finifiliaki will be released to play. So there is talk that some of these 18, 19, 20th players may be released to play for teams that will play this weekend. So he'll be a huge plus for the Dolphins. But I think it'll be good for them to have those sort of players, you know, Plath especially, Fuiaki, in that Origin setup. I think that'll really do them wonders back end of the season. And I can see the Dolphins continuing on this run that they're on, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't be losing too much sleep if I'm a Bunnies fan, because they just completed very poorly in that first half and didn't really recover. And every time you felt like they might have been making a bit of a recovery, they'd have a knock-on or a mistake. So the stats read pretty even in this one, except for the completion rates. And interestingly, kick meters, we talked about Katoa really warming into this new speed of football, and he was just great again, and he kicked the lights out. So they are on the right path for sure. Now, just about the form team of the comp at the moment, the Sea Eagles, which
unbelievable,
unbelievable. We'll get back that little piece from the preseason on what you thought they'd do, and I won't stop reminding you of that. But it's super impressive what Foran's done. But equally, the Tigers have got a few out, but they've really fallen off a cliff, haven't they?
They have, mate. Look, they've got key personnel out. There's no question. Their spine has really been in tatters. And look, Jerome Luluai hasn't had a monstrous year. You know, he's been solid in games off and on, but he hasn't really had a huge year for them. And when they've lost the others, it's been a big miss. Twal was obviously a late pull with an injury, and that hurt as well. So look, the Tigers just need a full squad back on the field, and they need to get going. Obviously, Dewey's going to be out for a long time, which hurts them. But the Tigers just need to get that squad back together, get on a roll. But Manly have been simply outstanding since Kieran Foran come in and took over. They've only dropped the one game, and they certainly weren't embarrassed against Penrith. It was one of the better performances we've seen against Penrith this year. And obviously, Ola Kawatu and Kola have been rewarded with a jersey in the blue side. So, again, that'll be huge for both those players. That'll really give them that, that window into some of the more experienced players in the competition. So I can see Manly continuing on with this. You know, where it stops, it'll certainly be late into September the way they're playing at the moment. It's exciting for them. So, you know, all while Turbo obviously isn't fit and healthy. So really impressive. Saab with a hat trick. He just continues to find the line. So they're a really strong side that are playing this new style of football really, really well, mate. Probably better than just about anyone else, mate, with the exception of the Panthers and the Warriors.
Absolutely. Interestingly, a lot of the data says that players will manifest injuries when they're in stress, but equally anyone who's played any sort of sport knows that when you're having a winning season and it's a happy group, the injuries seem to be much lower. So it just goes to show just how happy and connected they are as a team, and that's probably the biggest thing. Yeah, he's got them turned around and playing well, but they didn't look cohesive and they didn't look particularly happy the final few games of Seabowl, whereas it's a completely different looking team now, and they are up and about, and they remind you of a team that you've seen get success before, because they just look so together. So a massive credit to Foran there. I heard someone say, well, you know, he hasn't faced any adversity as a coach. Well, that may be true, but he's faced plenty of adversity as a man, as a footballer. So if there's one bloke who's built to face the challenges that head coaching will throw at him if he is given that full-time job, mate, it's him, because he's faced some unbelievable moments and just kept coming back time and time again. Like the last couple of years of football that he produced was remarkable given everything he'd experienced and what we heard about where his body was 4 or 5 years prior when he was at the Bulldogs. Mate, what a not just a player, not just a coach, but what a man.
Yeah, couldn't agree more, mate. He's been a huge career as a player, and you can tell he's got the respect, and the players just want to continue to go out there and play for him, mate. And to your point, they look lighter, they look fresher, they look happier. So, all the signs point to them heading towards that semi-final berth, which was just unthinkable, 6 weeks ago.
Yep. Now, I've got to put my hand up and say I got this one wrong. Jake Clifford, who I said I didn't think he was a first grader, he was fantastic again on Saturday night. He's just playing with such control. And in a team that, man, that forward pack, didn't they rip in? If the previous week they were a bit scattered and played some good attacking football but found every way to lose it, without Dearden there, Clifford steps up. The two young fellas that came in at 6 and 9 were super impressive. and well, not nine, but Planet Hooker off the bench.
Yep.
What a performance! Like they it just looked like premiership defence. Just how hard they were going, and even at times where the Roosters were getting repeat sets, they were unbelievable.
Yeah, mate. Look, you hit the nail on the head with this game. I will say all three of their tries come in a 9-minute gap, so they certainly made took advantage of that, you know, momentum and that role that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. But to keep a star-studded Roosters to only 12 points is unbelievable effort. Just the resilience they showed in defence, keep turning up for each other. To your point, they had a number of you know, rookies and young blokes in the side. They just, you know, lost, you know, what we all probably agree is their best player in Dearden, and they just found a way to win. So that was super impressive. They just keep on doing it. You know, the Cowboys, they're 7-4, and again, off to a very slow start at the beginning of the year. But this is one that they wouldn't have thought they would have banked on, even at home. You know, the Roosters had been absolutely flying. So for them to knock the Roosters over and do it without Dearden in the way they did, obviously Taumalolo wasn't playing either. He'd been a really important player for them through the middle, the opening 10 rounds. Hats off to them. But the Roosters they didn't play poorly. They just didn't seem like they were on.
Clunky.
Yeah, they just didn't quite seem like they were, you know, fresh and they were gelling. You know, there are a number of players, if they did know that they were in the Origin side, obviously, you know, Radley and Tedesco, there's probably others there, I can't, Toya. So there was a few that potentially had an eye on next, you know, Wednesday week. But they just didn't seem to gel. I wouldn't take too much gloss off the Roosters season because of that one. I'd more focus on a really, you know, really full, hard performance by the Cows.
Particularly given they had the sin bin in the first half, but that second sin bin period when they were down to 12, mate, they were unbelievable. You thought probably going to be where the Roosters blew them away, but that 10-minute period was phenomenal, how well they defended and just how well they scrambled and actually had some really good moments with the ball, a player down as well. Super impressive performance, and it makes it even more interesting now given that Todd Payton's not been re-signed for next year yet. Is he going to make it just impossible for them to go in a different direction? And if they do, you'd think there'd be clubs lining up for his services.
Yeah, it's really interesting, mate. 7-4 to start the season and get into the Origin. Obviously, this coming week's going to be tough with them. They've lost a number of players, and then on the back of the Dearden injury. So it'll be a tough period like it always is for them to get through Origin. But if they can jag one or two through this next 2 month block, then, you know, they've got semi-final opportunity for them. You know, we've done very well to get through to halfway through the games without mentioning the referees, but I didn't agree with either one of the 10 in the bins in that game. It was, both of them were wrong for mine. So I thought the Cowboys, to place 60 minutes with only 12, to your point, they focused in on defending well. They kicked really well through Clifford. Really, really impressive performance from my mate. It was one of the most the most impressive performances of the round for mine.
Oh, and even the year. They did complete very high, over 90%. The Roosters didn't. And that's in line with what you said before about them not being quite on their game. Mm. Now, this next game was a pig of a game. And the Storm weren't that good. But, geez, we just kept letting them back into it. Like, we've got a chance just after halftime to get back within 2 points. And Kelly, who had another one of these dropsy nights, he's like one game in, one game out. He drops it, and then they get on the other end and score. And it's a 12-point turnaround. And they just kept doing it all night. Every time they built a bit of pressure, they did such good work defending on their own line. They showed a lot of resilience. They turned away the Storm for long periods. But then they would just drop the ball, forward pass here. The amount of times Talon De Silva threw a face ball into a guy in heavy traffic and knocking on when the play was either they got a six again and he threw one of those passes, and the other time he decided to play it out to a two-man overlap and we score. Just one of those nights, and it was a tough watch, and I did turn off with about five to go because I haven't been that frustrated in a long time, because you want your team to have a crack, but when they just keep making stupid decisions and just throw any chance away, because the Storm were there for the beating. I don't think they've turned the corner of the Storm, because we were horrendous. It reminded me of the Titans game, and they should have put us away earlier but just couldn't.
Yeah, look, the story of this game was the error rate. You hit the nail on the head. Storm weren't much better, mate. Well, in fact, they had a worse completion rate than Para. It was a little bit of an errathon, I must admit. But in the end, the Storm just had a few more points. You know, both Munster and Hughes have come out over this last week and given the NRL a bit of a touch-up and told, you know, we're not real happy with how the game's being played, but if this is what it is, then we've had to adapt. I think while they necessarily haven't turned the corner, I agree with you, I think they realise now what they have to do, what style of game they have to play. So I think, you know, post-Origin, they always lose a number over Origin, and this year's no different. So I think post-Origin, they'll be better for it. I can't see them making a run and winning the comp or anything like that now.
No.
But I think you'll start to see a few more wins and a few more polished performances by Storm. I think they get it. But yeah, and Para, look, they don't have the cattle, right? We've said, you know, the Dragons, the Titans, the Bulldogs haven't got the cattle either. But it's as simple as that. Para's got a lot of injuries, and they just haven't quite got the staff on the field to be able to win games, mate. So mind the Storm deserved to win, but it certainly wasn't a huge tick in the victory, mate, for mine.
No, what was step in the right direction for them is that that's the quickest ruck speed they've had, I reckon, for the season. So they were motoring down the field a fair bit. We talk Para, we talk about Troops. Oh, I can't remember who it was about 3 weeks ago, and they were saying they can't for the life of me work out where Para spends their full salary cap, because there's no names there. Like, yeah. And you can say we've got 12 out, but there's not like we've got these massive names who have come back in. Our forward pack is a mix of older guys whose best years are behind them and young guys who just aren't there yet. And Sewer will be a great addition for next year, but they're really missing those middle of the range, not middle of the range in terms of ability, but the 100 game players to add that right balance between youth experience and that hard edge, and they just haven't got it. And they're not, if they're going all in on their pathways and youth, it's going to be at least a couple years ago, if not more, before they're serious contenders.
Yeah, agree, mate. They certainly caught in the middle at the moment. Obviously, Moses is everything for him and hasn't been huge this season, you know, whether he's carrying a niggle or not. I agree with you. It was probably one of his better games. But, you know, you're not getting your full bang for buck out of him. And then, you know, as far as saying there's a marquee player after that, there probably isn't. That's all they've got. So, but look, the Storm were good. You know, we mentioned Harry Grant the last few weeks. I think he's just continued to really perform strongly. I think if Storm were winning the comp, I think he'd be runaway Dally M. He's just been really impressive. Yeah, the other one for me is Cooper Clark, mate. He's been huge, the big front row from the Sunny Coast. Still only 18, 19. You know, we weren't critical a couple of weeks ago, but we mentioned when he was playing on the edge that wasn't his position. You know, he still needs to learn a bit with defence, and he was a proper middle. These last few weeks, he's come in after 15, 20 minutes and just been had a really big impact on him. Yeah, so really good work by him. He's got he's certainly got a future. He keeps heading in the right direction, mate.
Yep. We talked about the Knights being the most watchable team, and they didn't disappoint in the second half. The Titans, again, they hung in there well, but they just kept dropping the ball. they'd have been so disappointed because they just didn't give themselves a chance, and they were right in that game at halftime.
Yeah, look, 6-6 at halftime. Even with the errors, they were grinding hard. They were fighting, and that's the way that they've been working all off-season to try and add that portion to their game. So it's certainly working in bits and pieces of the game. But obviously, the Knights just had too much class in the back end. You know, Dom Young, a hat trick, Sharp, 2 tries. Obviously, Marzu, that intercept really broke the hearts of the Pyle Titans. But look, they're getting better, but they still don't have that polish. To your point, for all the grit, then they made the errors. And you just, at this moment, against the Knights especially, with a few other teams, you just can't give them back the ball like that. Once they get momentum, they're just too hard to stop. So, yeah, look, pretty impressive by the Titans that first half, but they've got to be able to do it for all 80. And hats off to the Knights. They just look electric with the ball. So,
I'm going to have to start taking actual notes. There was a moment in that second half where I thought they got a pretty rough decision, the Titans, that was, I think it was just before the Marju try as well. But, yeah, they certainly could have, one of those ones it could have been. And, again, we look at the score and we go, well, when we look back at in a later time and go, oh, that's like a one-sided affair, but it really wasn't. And the same with the game before, Para Storm was 22-8 with, like, 10 minutes to go, and Para had plenty of chances to get back in. And I think that's been a bit of the story of the season. If they think that lots of tries is the answer, well, I'm not sure we're heading in the right direction, because for teams that are having a crack like the Titans did to be beaten by that many, I think that's probably a bit unfair. But anyway, we'll stop complaining about that at some point. But I'm going to keep complaining as we roll into this next game, the Warriors Bronx. This is going to sound a bit crazy, but they were so resilient in that first half, the Bronx, given... At one point, the Warriors were 21 of 22 and the Storm was 6 of 7. So they were completing high, 6 out of 7, but they just couldn't get the ball because the Warriors just kept getting 6 against, penalties. It was crazy.
Yeah. There was a huge Warriors contingent at Suncorp. They took over Caxton Street the morning of the game and was a real buzz, especially for the Sunday. The Warriors fans, and they certainly earned their team a huge first 40 minutes because everything the referee did went the Warriors' way. Look, I thought they were the better side, no doubt. I thought they deserved the win, but they certainly got every call and every advantage they possibly could, especially in that first half. And at the end of the day, 22 unanswered points to kick it off was just too much for the Broncos to come back with. Obviously, the Boyd injury is going to be a monster one. There was all the press around Metcalf. Looks like signed with the Dragons, which is a big one for them. But having Boyd go down injured, and it didn't look good, and it's an ACL, potentially could be the season. So Tamari Martin come on and picked up straight away. They literally went to him first ruck, and he put on a little bit of a move. He's a bloody good footballer. He's certainly a first grade standard. So, whether it's him or I'm not sure the exact deal with Metcalf, whether he's going to stay the season or not, but Boyd's going to be a big loss for them. So if they can keep doing what they're doing in the forward pack and try and find a way in the halves with Boyd gone, they're going to be really hard to beat. As far as the Broncos go, they're running out of time. I know we'll talk about it on Wednesday's podcast, and I'll get the draw that they've got coming up. But they've got a very tough run to finish, and they're starting to, sort of slip behind a few of those top eight teams now. Obviously, 11th spot, 5 wins, 6 losses. So they need to get on their bike, and they need to do it in a real hurry, or they're going to be missing the 8.
Yeah. They hung in there so well in that first half, but you knew the weight of possession and all that work they'd done in the first half was going to come back and bite them in the second. And in the second half, they just couldn't get out of their own end. They were completely gassed and weren't helped by a pretty harsh sin binning. And then the decision to me where they were most stuttered was when they're coming back into the game and Ezra Mann clearly gets held down, professional foul. They get a 6 again. But how is that not 10 in the bin? because because then they're on a bit of a roll. They get 10 minutes. They probably would have scored off that. Then they're on a roll and anything's possible. Like, that just I'd have been filthy if I was a Broncos fan at that point.
Yeah, agree, mate. And then the other absolute astonishing decision was the Reece Walsh HIA. So they've
got a
referee, two touch judges, how many bozos in the video ref box? No, nothing to see here. And then all of a sudden the independent independent doctor calls him out for HIA.
Yeah,
now, whether you agree with the independency of it or not, I don't understand how he has to go off because he's been hit in the head, but it isn't a penalty. It isn't a 10 in the bin. It isn't anything. It's play on. Mm. Look, for mine, the Warriors were the better side. They deserve the win. But a lot of things went against the Broncos there. So, poor old Madge will be back to the drawing board and have to deal with a fairly large Origin contingent over the next sort of 6 weeks.
Yep. Tamari Martin was very good. I think they said he hadn't played since, was it 11 weeks or something? And he just came in like he'd been playing all year. Very, very slick. And again, helped by the weight and tide of possession, but Aaron Clark was a beast and he was nearly unstoppable a couple of times in and around the try line. So, yeah, starting to build an impressive season, the Wars, and everywhere they go, they seem to dominate the home fans and it seems like a home game everywhere they go. So, they have got good times ahead. Now, speaking of ripped off, now, 28-6, yeah, okay, a bit lopsided. But when the game is in the balance and that decision, split second, and it's meant to be clear to overturn the on-field ruling, now how you can come up with a clear answer to that for maybe the smallest fraction of a second he's got his hands at, I just think that's ridiculous. And even the Penrith players coming off, getting interviewed at halftime, said, I think we dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, that's exactly. You talk about a dagger in the heart. Edwards come off and said we got lucky there on that last decision. So look, for mine, that was a try. Whether I'm a dragon or not, I thought that was a try. And look, Tua Pilota scored what they called a double movement. And look, I probably agree, but I've seen worse than that scoot through as well. So you know, it could have quite easily been 12 all at half time. And again, Penrith were the better side, no taking it away, but it just gives the team more confidence. You know, you saw poor Cook when he went up to argue the point on his no try. The poor fellow was just, you know, beaten up. Like, he tried everything he could. But Penrith were really good. You know, their back five ran for over 1,000 metres, which was about 200-odd more than the Dragons. And they were really impressive. You know, Edwards, 267 metres, 230, and it felt like 20 barely touched the ball. Just he's that good. And Cleary just did his thing like he normally did. They were really polished, Penrith. Even when we were going for them set for set, you know, and at that stage, you know, say it was 12-all with the two disallowed tries, Penrith didn't fall out of the way they were doing it. Their game plan stuck solid. They just played low error rate, you know, kicked well and just outgrinded the Dragons. They just did what they needed to do without putting their foot on their throat. So it was really impressive from them. I like what the young Dragons forward pack did. I was really impressed with them. I can see them staying together. It may sound silly with how they're playing at the moment, but I can see that forward pack being a semi-final standard forward pack, especially with Kalo Matangi coming into the side. We've just got to learn how to score points, and we just need more from our back five. So hopefully with some additions, you know, the likes of the Couchmans, et cetera, can get that support off our backs that, you know, we're 18 months away from seeing some impressive results.
I thought they were impressive yesterday. With again, we talked about the lack of quality they've got in really key positions, but they had a real crack. When I thought the Cook try was given, I was going to text you and just say, oh, mate, you're right in this one. But then, of course, that all turned to shit. But the Panthers defended so well, particularly on their line. Now, we've been critical of the Dragons in the attacking 20, but I thought they actually threw a bit at him for a change. And even when Tuipulotu scored in the corner, it took some like a seriously good bit of work from the winger to get over, because that, for all money, they should have scored nearly untouched, because it was such a good backline movement. And yet they still nearly stopped him. Their scrambling defence is just next level.
Yeah, Edwards stopped him at one stage, and I thought that was just about the tackle of the season so far, because that was a guaranteed 6 points. So, yeah, look, they were better. It's more of a structured side. Obviously, they finally moved Aikens to six, and Flanagan was at seven. And that young forward pack, as I said, Pacifica Tonga only played 34, 35 minutes, but both of his spells were really good. The two Couchmans, Dylan Egan and Hamish Stewart, it's just a really good, solid, hard-working pack. They're all mobile. They all play big minutes. Word is Toby Couchman was seen with his hand in a sling at the airport, so I'm not sure whether that's just precautionary or there's something more serious to it. But I wouldn't have been shocked to see a Couchman in the blue side. I certainly would have been less shocked to see one of them than I was to see Saifidi. but yeah, so they've got a really good a young pack there, mate, which I'm really happy with. But once again, Penrith just showed why, you know, they've won the competitions they have, and they're, you know, they're red hot favourites again this season, mate.
Yep. I will say this about Saifidi. In the one origin or one or two origins that he did play, he actually had a real tear and went well. So let's hope he's just gonna put in that same just rip in. He was super physical. He got through a heap of yards. It was like suddenly like, oh, man, where's this been for the last few years? So that's my hope. Now, we talked about the Dragons, how quickly things can turn around. So Metcalf is confirmed. You got Keon coming, Drinkwater. My only concern is, I saw this stat the other day, Luke Metcalf has only played 43 first-grade games in 6 years of first grade.
Yep.
Now, that is concerning when you're paying $1 million for a bloke who spent most of that 6 years injured and in and out of first grade. So I don't know what your thoughts are there. If he can get 20 games out of him, then it looks like a good buy. But, yeah, it's a gamble for mine.
Yeah, exactly right, mate. And reality is it's the same gamble we've taken with Atkinson. He hadn't played a lot of first grade, even though he'd been around the Cronulla system for a while. You know, he'd been in and out, a lot of 19th, 18th man. So, look, if he stays fully fit, I mean, you could say that about a number of players, but if he stays fully fit, he can get the team points. You know, he's creative enough. Obviously, with Drinkwater at the back, then there's some speed and obviously some threat with the ball at fullback. So, look, I like what they've done. I think I'd love to be able to spend Gutherson and Val's money on, you know, two wingers or you know, they've got Philip Semi. Hopefully he can do a job on one wing. But I'd love, you know, a strike centre and some speed. It's probably something we lack. So I'd love to be able to take that budget and move it somewhere else, but we'll see if they can offload them, mate, or not. But look, it's certainly promising signs. The young forward pack, and then they've recruited those four players. I'd rather be in that position than what we are, you know, right now.
You're starting to sound like a bloke I used to work with, reassigning budgets to other areas without mentioning any names.
I love it.
Power rankings. What do we got?
Yeah, mate. So I've spoken to Gagan. He gave me a bit of info on Magic Round. He attended on Sunday and told me that the 4X was very tasty. He's only got one change. So Panthers still in one, Warriors two, Roosters three, Manly four. But he's pushed the Cowboys up into five at the expense of the Rabbitohs. So he was very impressed with what the Cowboys were able to do against a red-hot Roosters side. So, yeah, look, can't argue with him. South haven't had the best last 2 weeks. So, yeah, Cowboys have pushed up. What's your take on that?
Well, mate, I can't argue with any of that. I feel like the Eagles might be feeling a little bit hard done by that they haven't moved up a place above the Roosters, because they have been stringing together good performances for nearly 2 months now. So I'd probably have them one notch above the Roosters. But, yeah, the Cowboys had to be in there. And we're starting to get the top eight really starting to take shape. And generally what happens is that at this time of year, the top eight doesn't change too much. So it's probably a bit of hard luck for some of those teams that are sort of in and around the edge now, including, although Canberra, I noticed, have just snuck up suddenly to a win outside. But, yeah, there's some surprising teams propping up at the bottom at the moment, the Bulldogs, the Storm, and
I think that bottom four, Bulldogs, Eels, Titans, Dragons, I think you may as well lock them
gone.
In. I can't see them doing it. This week, obviously there's a number of buys. I think there's seven teams, I think, on the buy. So obviously that'll even the ladder up a little bit more. But I think probably even the Storm as well. They're only 8 wins. They're only 8 points with 4 wins. But the Raiders... Broncos, the Tigers have slipped dramatically to your point earlier, the Sharks, and then obviously the three that are just in the eight, Knights, Cowboys, Dolphins. So there's still some interesting movement, but it's certainly starting to take shape. I think the top four and the bottom four of their fate sealed. I think those top four are definitely going to make the semis, and I think the bottom four have got no hope. It'll just be those teams in the middle.
Yep. To be fair, apart from the Storm, you had the Dogs missing the eight. I might have had them as well, but the other three, we didn't have them anywhere near the eight anyway, so none of that's a surprise. But there would definitely be a couple of surprise packets in that top eight, and it's good to see, because generally there's only one or two teams that change, but there's going to be a significant turnover in that top eight this year, which is good for the game to be sharing that round and not having the same old, although I know there'll be plenty of people disappointed that it seems like Penrith will be up there again, probably competing in the last day game of the year.
Yeah, I agree, mate. I think something big would have to happen for the Panthers to not be there on grand final day, but stranger things have happened, mate, and there's still another 15, 16 odd weeks of rugby league. Anything could happen.
Yep, and all teams are only a couple of key injuries away from a struggle, and we've seen them survive without Cleary, but we haven't seen them survive without Isaiah Yeo for long periods of time. So there's probably some hope there for the rest of the comp that there could be some injuries that do change things up. History shows, though, they'll find someone else to slip straight in there and step up.
Yep.
All right, mate. Good session. We'll talk more Origin, no doubt, on Wednesday, and then we'll preview what we've got on for a shorter list of fixtures for this weekend.
Can't wait, mate. Talk Wednesday. Cheers.
See you, mate. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.